Hey, I'm Rex, alcoholic.
Hey, Rex.
DCM for District 13I. If you don't know what 13I is, that's okay. You may, if you're in the Marietta area, you may be part of 13I without knowing it. And then, Alex?
My name is Alex Damon. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Alex.
I'm currently serving as GSR of the Covenant Group in North Cobb. But I'll get into some of my service history in just a little bit.
Okay. So, as a preliminary, just to let you guys know, this is going to be sort of casual. It's not some sort of fancy presentation or anything like that. We've got some slides we put together from just pulling in the literature that's out there. And so this is all mostly either conference-proofed literature or, you know, otherwise from, like, the AA Georgia website. So all of these materials, for the most part, will be easily retrievable and findable by you after this session. And I'm happy to share that, how to get that information in case you're interested. And then as this is also intended to be interactive, so please feel free to ask any questions, make any comments, or anything like that. And also, let's just get started with a survey here. Who here has done any service in AA? Okay. Who here has acted
in AA?
Helen, have you ever done any service in AA?
Oh, we already
reason. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to hear.
Yeah, yeah. Just to be more specific, who here has served as group chair for their group?
Group chair for what?
Yeah, their group, your group. Who here has served as treasurer for your group? All right. How about secretary? All right. Who here has served as GSR for their group? How about an intergroup rep?
What?
Intergroup. Who here has served as DCM? Okay. And then let's just move that to any sort of area level position, area officer, such as secretary, delegate. Area committee members, nothing like that.
Couple of
those. Susan?
Couple of
those. Okay, and if you don't know what area means, that means Georgia.
in this case.
Yeah.
In our case here.
In our particular case, it means Georgia.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What is DCM and GSR?
We're going to get to that, and
very good question.
And why don't you go ahead and answer?
Okay, well, we'll start with GSR. We're going to throw a lot of acronyms around, so please ask. GSR stands for General Service Representative, which sounds really big. It's not really big. It's a person elected by a group to serve as that group's voice, as that group's point of contact or communication person to talk to and get information to and get information from the DCM, in this case, which is the district committee member. The DCM very much serves the same type of role as a GSR does for their group, but the DCM handles that position for their district, or in the case of where we are here in the Marietta area, in the Atlanta area, our zone, because our district is actually divided up into zones because there's so many people and so many groups. So the GSR is really the first point of contact within a group to get a pulse for how the group is doing health-wise, answer questions of the group members, help organize group conscience meetings, and then take information to the DCM, get information back from the DCM, and then, again, that'll all go to the area level after that. So there was another question already back here.
Yes, my name's Taylor. I'm an alcoholic.
Taylor?
I'm only 90 days in, so all this stuff is very new to me. I'm wondering what you have to do to become one of these things.
Okay. I'm going to repeat that because they're recording this too. So the question is, what does one need to do to become a group service representative and or DCM? That was the question?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to get there, too. We've got some slides about that. And I don't know if that now's the right time to bring this up. We've got this very carefully rehearsed, you know, just to every single word. But we will get to those points, too, about how it does happen, how one gets there. One of the things I wanted to make sure to state is that much like we use 12 suggested steps, the service structure in Alcoholics Anonymous is not set up on rules. It is not set up on this is what must happen. There are suggestions. And what I've learned in my travels as I've served in several different regions of the country, in some cases out of this country, it's different everywhere. But there are some general, to answer your question, Taylor, there are some general recommendations of how one becomes a general service representative and then possibly even a DCM or a area committee representative.
Yeah, and we'll get into those details in a little bit. And I did want to finish my survey.
Oh, sorry.
There's one more. Who here has ever made coffee, set up chairs, acted as a greeter, talked to another alcoholic, and tried to help them out here? I think that's pretty much everybody here. So congratulations, you've all done service. Alright, so this agenda is, we're gonna try to cover all of these things, and there's two slides.
No, I said that was the end. The questions that just came up. What is a TCM? Yeah. What is a GSR? Very good.
Exactly. So, there's two slides on this agenda. We're not really gonna follow this order, but we're gonna cover all of these items. What is a DCM, an alternate DCM, GSR, alternate GSR? What is the general service structure? What does a DCM do? What does a GSR do? Where do we meet when we talk about district or zone meetings? What do we do at those meetings? What is this Georgia State Service Assembly? Alex is going to share a lot of examples that he has of his real-world experiences, as will I, if I think of some. And then we're going to have some more questions and answers, and feel free to ask as we go along. We're here to just share with you what we've learned, right? None of this is rocket science. This is things that you can do, right? We've just been at this for long enough that people have asked us, hey, can you do this? And we said, okay. Yeah, that's basically it, you know. That's kind of how service works. You watch others. You may act in an alternate role, and you're kind of just tailing that person who's doing that position for a little while, and then eventually you may rotate into that service position. And speaking of rotation, we have this idea here that, you know, people don't serve in some sort of lifetime roles within AA. You're generally around 2 years for service positions at max, and we want everybody to have the opportunity to serve within AA and to participate in various service roles. Anything to add to that?
Maybe just briefly to answer some of the questions of some of the folks that may not have as much experience in this. We also heard us already throw out a term, group conscience meeting. I don't know if you may be familiar with what that is or not familiar with what that is. Unlike a regular open or closed AA meeting, where you have a topic and you discuss recovery. A group conscience meeting is a gathering of home group members at their home group to discuss the actual health of the group itself. If the group needs people to sign up to chair meetings, if the group needs to discuss finances of the group, you know, we pass those baskets around. There's a lot of times people say, why are we doing that? I mean, does this just all go, if we're meeting in a church, so we pay all this money to the church? And the answer is probably not necessarily. But the group conscience meeting is to get everybody together so that the members of that home group can ask questions, have questions answered. That's one of the GSR's responsibilities. is being able to provide information and work through any issues. Like any family, any home group has its own dynamic. And some are healthier than others. Some groups are healthier than other groups. And certain, you know, if there's an issue that comes up, say you've got one person who consistently comes into your group absolutely intoxicated every single meeting and disrupts everything and won't shut up, you know, people don't always know how to handle that. What do we do? That's where the home group members and the GSR, the group service representative, should have an understanding that, say, the chairperson or the GSR, if you know, he or she is at that meeting, we're going to take that person, we're going to say, why don't you come with me, we're going to step outside and we'll talk out here. So that the meeting can carry on and people can actually get answers in their own recovery, not after about this one person who's causing all kinds of problems. That's just an example. But the group conscience meeting is as often as the group feels necessary. Several groups have meetings every month. Some groups have meeting once per quarter. You know, so it's up to the group how that works. And that's one of the other things I wanted to get to also is the group's health and the home group's well-being is also up to that group. And just like in the fourth tradition, that every AA group should be autonomous and can conduct its own affairs, the groups can do that, the zones can do that, the districts can actually do that. A district, and we're going to get to that in a little bit, District 13 has fairly recently made some changes to how we have service committee members elected slash appointed
and
organized. That organizational structure has changed because the district decided it was time to make a change. We'll get to that in a bit. But so when we talk about group conscience meetings, it's something that should already be happening at your group. If it's not, or if you keep asking and don't know anything about it, then let somebody know and more. There are several people that would be happy to meet. As Rex already said, none of us have gone through this the first time all by ourselves. There's always someone who has done this that we can turn to and say, how do we handle this? How do we have a group conscience meeting? How do we organize this? And we'll find people that can help you. Because we're all right here. I mean, so we're helping.
I wanted to read this this quote, which I thought was good. We won't read through every single slide, but this one bears is worth reading through. Each AA group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting. Alcoholics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. AA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. We try to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. Right? And so that's principles of service. That's what we're doing.
Sound familiar? Like if you have the 12 traditions on your wall, it sounds pretty familiar.
Many meetings and groups read this at every meeting. Alright, so the structure of AA service, right? We call this the inverted triangle. And there's a lot of the larger section, the AA groups, represents the fact that the AA groups are really kind of what drives everything. Okay? And it's not that that these lower ones are it's not that these lower sections of the triangle are in any way trying to dictate or tell the AA groups what should be happening. Everything is sort of decided by the AA groups themselves, and that representation of those AA groups comes through that informed group conscience through the group GSRs, okay? And then the group GSRs are the general service representatives that we mentioned. And those GSRs get an idea for what's going on in their group. They understand what are the group's thoughts and opinions, and then they come into things like our three times a year in Georgia. We have these service assemblies down in Dublin, Georgia. And those GSRs actually are the ones that do the voting on significant things that happen in our area, Georgia, right? But they also participate in the districts, right? So Alex, as a GSR, he attends our district meetings. We have them in 13I down off of Johnson Ferry once a month, and at the Mount Zion Church. And as a GSR, Alex will attend these district meetings along with the other GSRs and talk about things that are going on in his groups, his group, and converse with the other GSRs and understand what's going on with them. And then right now, since I'm serving as DCM, I sort of just organize that meeting, and I come to that meeting to listen and understand understand the conscience of the district, right? And I take that and I talk to the delegate. Our area delegate is the person who is elected to represent our state in the General Service Conference. And that's towards the bottom there. And then I think the General Service Conference only happens once a year, and it happens in New York. And they, all the delegates attend, I think it's about a week, to the General Service Conference. And it's a great session that they have, and they talk about everything that's going on in AA and across the nation, really, and make decisions there, right? And then down at the bottom, there's the General Service Board, right? The General Service Board is some trusted servants and elected people. I forget the exact name for them, but General Service Officers,
right? Trustees.
And they sort of handle a lot of the administrative and other nationwide type stuff. And then
so includes Canada.
And includes Canada. Very good point, David. Yes.
If Georgia is the area, the district is
sort of like let's say like Marietta area, right?
Or the district is gonna be a region within the area.
Yes, that's right. Except
for like one of our groups.
Yeah. And there's actually a map that Cliff has over here that we also have a copy of in these slides, that it shows how we are broken up within Georgia. So it's just a subsection of the area, really.
There is one linguistic district.
That's right. So
district 17.
So there's the districts that are broken up by the areas or by the subsections, but as Damon's rightly pointing out, there's a special district here in Georgia called District 17, and that's for the entire state of Hispanic, Spanish-speaking AA members. So they have one District 17.
And I don't want to get too deeply involved into the General Service Board itself, but it also does include these little squares, which is the AA Grapevine and AA World Services, again, parts of the corporation, basically, that run the business of AA, and obviously the printing of the Grapevine and Lavinia sobriety magazines. What I like to tell folks about, and again, one other thing, in our area, Fort Georgia, this spot right here, the district is split up into, in our area, in District 13, is split up into zones, which have a letter following them. So we've got zones A through L, but we're missing a couple of them because they're not there anymore.
Yeah,
so we're in 13I here in Marietta. Rex and I are. And so the zones are part of this. And what's really important about this inverted triangle, again, it kind of goes by, as Rex was saying, by level of importance. And so people think, well, the General Service Board with non-alcoholic and alcoholic trustees is the really important part. And they say, no, the important part
is the AA groups and the individual members of Alcoholics Anonymous. That is the lifeblood of AA. And that's what Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob and the other founding fathers of Alcoholics Anonymous set up all the way back in the 30s. This actually was set up in the 1950s when the traditions were actually put in place. And the important thing about this little triangle of the service structure is the communication runs both directions all the time. It's not information coming from the groups to New York or just from New York to the groups. It's constant communication back and forth. In a simple example of a literature committee, there have been a lot of changes recently in proposed changes in AA literature. There are still people who want to make more changes to the first 164 pages of the Big Book to be more gender fluid and inclusive. That's just one of those things that comes up as time goes on. As you probably already know, the Big Book has several different stories in the back. This after the first 164 pages, there are personal stories. Those change with each edition and each reprinting of the Big Book. There are a lot of people have to be involved in determining how that's all going to happen. That information comes from the groups all the way through the General Service Board and Literature Committee. That information is passed back to our area delegate, who then, with the DCMs and GSRs at the area committee at the State Service Assembly, sorry, the GSSA. That information is shared back and forth and asked of us, what do you think? What does your group think of this? And we take that information back to our group, find out what the group feels about it, bring that information back through the DCM and to the delegate at the area assembly. That information gets back to New York about how we may make changes in the book or in the preamble of AA, which has been changed fairly recently. So some of you may know about that part. But yes, sir.
So you all, so this GSRs would be responsible for like this change recently that's occurred in the preamble where we don't designate men and women, we just say people.
A group of people, yeah.
Yeah, they were a part of that vote.
Which is politically driven. And then that's the question I have to raise is that kind of the violation of some of the traditions.
And believe me, before that change was made, there was a lot of very heated discussion. And that's what I'm saying.
It's still ongoing. Talking about reverting that.
Yeah.
But that would come from just the assembly, general assembly.
In other words, the GSR voted on that.
They just wondered how it got started.
It can get started.
Who initiated that?
So there's like a motion form that I forget who can submit it, but they get submitted to be considered in General Service Conference. And so, that could be brought up by a group, right, or by a district, and then brought to that area's delegate. And then that area takes all these recommended actions, right, that represents their sort of area's informed conscience. And they go into that General Service Conference in New York with that informed opinion, and then they sort of vote on that during that time. Now, it's not that they are required to do exactly as their area has specifically said, because oftentimes the delegate may come in and find out new information that may not have been available from their area or for their area, and they have to sort of take that into consideration. But it's generally sort of the suggestion to sort of honor the area's wishes.
And that exact level also applies and filters all the way down, even to a group conscience meeting. The group conscience may tell the GSR, we want you to take this information to the State Assembly. But at the State Assembly, that GSR may get more information, may hear more news, and also then any elected official or trusted servant has the sort of the right of decision to make an informed decision depending on what they learn. And the bit about the change of the whole people versus men and women thing, I don't have any idea what state that may have come from. I don't know where it originated. I didn't get that much history on where it started.
I think it was a national thing at least, because it's at least being debated even to this day nationally. So.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I know the delegate, I've spoken with the delegate, was involved in that decision. There was actually a lot of back and forth. At the end, there was over 98% of the delegates in Canada and the United States agreed to that change. It took a lot. They spent 3 or 4 days going over it. But it is at the General Service Conference. It was in the Zoom. It was a hybrid only because it was in the midst of Zoom when that happened. But the overwhelming thing that drove it was we were supposed to be inclusive, not exclusive. And that's the part, and that was the driving principle behind the change.
Right. And again, that's just one example. I mean, I didn't mean to bring up a sore topic and get us sidetracked on it. It's a good present example because the current preamble reads a group of people.
But isn't that the grapevine part? It's not the AA Correct. Service part. Preamble is from the grapevine.
Correct. All right, it would have gone through that committee first and then been brought to the entire General Service.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah, it would have gone through each committee.
So literature in general, though, it's not just grapevine, right?
Right.
And a lot of that language changes get considered in the General Service Conference, right? So there's a whole bunch of brochures and all of the books and everything in AA can be modified to a certain degree in that General Service Conference with the participants. Yes?
Is the event in Dublin on May 19th and 21st the same thing that you're referring to now?
General Service Conference?
Yes.
No. That is our area assembly.
GSSA, Georgia State Service Assembly.
General Service Conference is the yearly, the annual in New York.
And that's an April.
Thank you, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it just recently concluded.
Just wrapping it up.
So here's one more. The entire structure of AA depends upon the participation and conscience of the individual groups, and how each of these groups conduct its affairs has a ripple effect on AA everywhere. Thus, we are ever individually conscious of our responsibility for our own sobriety and, as a group, for carrying the AA message to the suffering alcoholic who reaches out to us for help. AA is shaped by the collective voice of its local groups and their representatives to the General Service Conference, which works towards unanimity on matters vital to the fellowship. Each group functions independently, except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. So hopefully everything that we've been discussing today kind of matches that. I think, you know, it reflects that general guidance.
And that's that last statement there is again, right? It's a quote of tradition four, that each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. And as we were mentioning earlier, I mean, that also means that even our zone, you know, can make decisions that it feels is the best to do for our zone, as long as that doesn't have any outward effect. Because again, our goal is that whenever, wherever, you guys know probably, you may know the responsibility statement, that when anyone reaches out for help, we want the hand of AA always to be there. And that's our job. That's what we do. It's what we strive to do. That's what we hope to do is that when somebody is traveling, and I travel extensively still, and I look up meetings either online or in one of the directories, and I just love showing up at meetings. And because wherever I am, I can walk into a group of people, and I know that that's where I'm supposed to be that night. And if, you know, if I get someplace and there says there's a meeting, but there isn't one there, then something's happened. There's been a breakdown somehow.
All right. So, this is an example of one of the brochures that you can get off of the AA.org website, and there's a whole bunch of these, right? And you may see them set up paper copies of these pamphlets in your group. This is just a digital thing that you can download. But one aspect of this that I wanted to show you from this brochure is just an alternate sort of visual of that service structure, right? And this is within an AA group, okay? But also it shows outside of the AA group. So the circular section kind of represents it within the group, and then the little key section down at the bottom is outside the group.
So it's kind of in the inverted triangle, so that the round part would be that first line AA group, and then the rest is the same, as you can see.
And I'll tell you that most groups that I have attended don't have all of these positions, right? There may not always be a CPC representative for your group. There may not be an archives representative for your group. But this kind of represents more of a set of possibilities for a group. The common things that I've seen in groups are secretary, chairperson, treasurer, intergroup rep, and general service representative, GSR.
To answer the next question about some of the some
what
of
is the next question?
Some of the acronyms. The committees involved from the group structure all the way through to the state level, the area level, include things like we just talked about, like a literature representative. That includes things like the Grapevine, the Big Book, the 12 and 12. The literature includes those pamphlets that Rex was just pointing out. Those are all aspects of the literature. Again, several groups do not have a literature representative. Okay. In an ideal world, possibly. Another acronym you hear thrown around a lot is PICPC. Public information is PI, not public intoxication anymore. That was my PI for a long time. Then later on I became a PI representative, and I said, oh, I know about that. And they said, no, it's not what you think. Public information is just that. It's doing things like making sure that there may be a website out there that has your group's meetings and times and location on it, or possibly a phone number for that group or for an intergroup rep, so somebody can pick up the phone and call and say, "How? Where do I get to this meeting? How? Where is it?" Public information also includes having meeting lists printed in newspapers, back when people actually used to read newspapers. I've done several actual radio shows when some communities having a mental health awareness week and they want to hear from somebody involved in AA. I can do that anonymously on a radio show and provide public information about what AA is and what AA is not. Tied into that frequently, in fact, it's usually combined in this area and several others, public information is tied in with CPC, which is cooperation with the professional community. That's where those of us involved in the recovery world communicate and cooperate with other people who come in contact with alcoholics, either alcoholics in recovery or alcoholics in need of recovery. So cooperation with the professional community is how AA cooperates and communicates with drug courts, with judges, with police departments, with hospitals, with DUI schools, with any number of places where people are going to be dealing with alcoholics. Again, whether those alcoholics are in recovery or not yet. So it's important for people in the legal field. It's important for attorneys to understand, again, what AA is and what AA is not. I spent quite a bit of time working with the U.S. Navy when I lived in the Caribbean. I was a PICPC district rep. And the Navy would come in, and first the sailors needed to understand the liquor laws in the Caribbean, which are basically non-existent. So they need to understand that. The other thing happens that many of you have served probably realize is that a lot of the military uses AA as a punitive division. I mean, you get sentenced to AA if you've misbehaved. You have to go to a certain number of AA meetings. And, of course, drug court has some ties into that, too. So my job as PICPC rep would be to meet with the naval vessels as they come in. I was part of the port briefing committee. I would go out to the ships and present to them what's going to happen when they set foot on these islands, where to go, where not to go, the fact that, yeah, there aren't any open container laws, and a bottle runs about $1.79, and you've got to be really careful. So, you know, those are the types of things that I would help them with. So CPC is cooperation with any people that have contact and dealings with alcoholics or with AA. So it's been an active part. And again, many groups in themselves, they may, it's, your group may have one meeting a week. You may not have a public information representative for your group, which is why, again, we mentioned a bit ago, and you can tell me to shut up whenever it's my time. It's why we mentioned a bit ago. That's why we mentioned a bit ago that our district, District 13, fairly recently made the changes of taking those committee positions from a group level or from an attempted group level, which wasn't happening, to a district level. So we have a District 13 public information in cooperation with the professional community committee. We have a District 13 treatment facilities committee, because we found it just too bulky, too awkward to try to maintain these positions at every single group. There are so many groups here. And this is just something else I wanted to bring up. This may be the time to bring that up. Is that with this many groups and with this many people as we have in this area, very densely populated area, we should have no issues filling lots of service positions. We still do have issues. I sober up in Dallas, Texas, Area 65. My first sponsor was a GSR. I didn't even know what that meant. I heard him talk about it, but I was kind of focused in on the stuff that Rick and Pam were talking about. I was working on 1, 2, 3. I was trying to figure this out. So anyway, I moved from there to the Caribbean. I moved to the Virgin Islands pretty early in my recovery and became a member of Area 15, South Florida, District 14, which is the U.S. and British Virgin Islands and Antigua, and that also includes St. Martin. So living there was sparse. I mean, my home group had 3 members. So I was on the far end of one of the smaller islands, and we'd get visitors, which was great, but there were very few of us there. I was actually very fortunate to have been one of the people that helped create what they call the Remote Communities Committee, which is actually still a part of GSO. Worked with Susan Yu out of GSO, and because I said, we're struggling out here. There's just a few of us. What happened in that one, too, and I know we're running out of time here pretty soon, but I showed up at this meeting out in Coral Bay, St. John, with my buddy named Fitz was there, and I'd seen him before because I had visited frequently. And he said, are you living on island now full-time, year-round? And I said, yeah. And he goes, great, you're the GSR now. Because he had been GSR for quite a while. And I said, okay, I'll be GSR. And I said, what is that? What does that mean? I asked the same question some of you have asked. So I learned pretty fast. But there was somebody there that could show me what it involved. And that's the case anywhere you go in the world. From there, I became the district PICPC chair, as I mentioned. Later became the district chair and served on several of the area committees in South Florida. That's the other thing I want to preach about for a minute, and I'll get off my soapbox. The other thing that I find amusing is when people say, oh, you know, it's tough for me to do this, to get all the way into Marietta for these meetings. Oh, it's hard for me to get all the way to Macon or now Dublin. Can't do it. For me to attend the area meetings from where I lived took a day to get there and usually ran me about $700. To get there, because I had to take a boat to a different island to get on an airplane, to get up to Florida and rent a car and get to the meetings. So when I hear people in South Florida say, oh, we have to drive all the way across the state, I was like, I started on my way yesterday. So it's a matter of, you know, it's just a matter of perspective. I mean, as far as, and I'm going to preach again a little bit about conducting service work for your group, for your zone, for your district, and for your state. I was willing to go to any length to get to the next bar and to get to the next liquor store. So I can also be willing to go any length when somebody says, hey, will you come and do this? As Rex said before, you go, okay, and you just do it. and learn as you go. I mean, you won't have to do it by yourself. The other thing I wanted to hit on really briefly is, in this section, I moved from the Caribbean, later, against my will, to Western Oklahoma. Stayed sober. another challenge in it. The area I lived in Oklahoma, Area 57, I was in District 70, which covered an 8-county area. That district has less than half of the population of Marietta. Those 8 counties. Again, a remote area. When I moved to Oklahoma, got actively involved in service work again, or still, and chaired the state conference, what Georgia they call the prepaid conference. We'll tell you about that too. If you have questions, we can talk about that afterwards. They asked me to chair the state conference in 2004. So I went from, again, a little home group that has about 6 people in it to chairing a meeting that had just shy of 1,700 people. So it gave me a little new experience in fear and overcoming fear through faith. So, I mean, I've had a lot of experience in a lot of different areas. Wound up, you know, again, serving as district chair there for quite a while, as well as DCM, and there's only a slight difference in those. So here, again, in Georgia, the last thing I'll say, and I'll turn this back over, who's supposed to be saying something, is here in Georgia, we have plenty of bodies. A big part of service work is sponsorship. If you're sponsoring someone and they don't have any idea what service work is, help them. If you have more questions about what service work is, ask somebody. That's the great thing. You can just turn to somebody and say, like, Rick started the meeting. Has anybody here served as a GSR? A bunch of hands went up. Find one of those people and say, what does that mean? How can I do this? How can I help the person I'm sponsoring learn more about this? And it is not advanced AA. It's not a whole new level of something.
This is the basics.
It is recommended that someone has a fairly firm grasp on their own recovery to take on a service position. But again, there's no rules about that. There are suggestions that I think we've got coming up on some slides. Suggestions about what might work well to serve these positions. But there aren't rules. There are plenty of ways to find out how you can get involved in service and what you can do to help AA still be here no matter what.
And so if I was to briefly summarize what Alex has been saying, and if I simultaneously look at this diagram, we see here that there are many different opportunities to serve within AA. There's many ways that you can serve, and we are in need within our District 13 of willing participants who want to remain sober themselves. This is one thing that helps me remain sober, is participating actively in service. We need people to fill those spots. In our District 13I, we've been looking for an alternate DCM for a long time. So if you've been a GSR in the past and are interested in serving as alternate DCM, I'd welcome your participation. But there's many other opportunities for you to serve. And I really encourage you. It's been a great way for me to serve. I've stayed sober. I've gotten to do different things because of it. And it keeps things fresh. It keeps things from getting too boring, where I just go to meetings and I just show up and maybe I sit there in the back and, you know, maybe I don't talk. This keeps me active, right?
If it can keep you sober moving from tropical paradise to Western Oklahoma, it can really help. And also, I just want to bring out really briefly this cool little emblem that we have, that little circle with the triangle inside it. In case you have not heard, those three sides of that triangle are unity, recovery, and service. I spoke on this at one of the recent cluster forums. And unity is great. We're all here. Recovery, obviously critical. If you just have those two, you don't have a triangle. You've got like a sideways V. That's, you know, that doesn't count.
Isn't the circle representing the world?
It is. The world of AA, which encompasses unity, recovery, service.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you.
So, I won't go through all of these items. This is part of the AA service manual, but I'll briefly talk about these. We have the group right? We've been talking about that a lot. You're all familiar with your groups, right? Then we've got the district. That is a sort of aggregation and organization of groups within a generally a geographic vicinity to each other, though there is that special mention of the linguistic district. Also, one more trivia, the District 13 has historically been known as Metro Atlanta, just in case you're ever wondering what is approximately District 13 represent. It's the metro area. And then the area is your state, right? And we have our assemblies at the state level. Then there's the delegate and the conference. Again, all of this is in the service manual. And the delegate goes to the General Service Conference as a reminder. And then there's the trustees, right? There's 21 trustees of the General Service Board. The interesting thing here is there's both alcoholic and non-alcoholic trustees. So we actually have some people that are trustees in our organization that are not alcoholics. Right?
How is that?
Hmm?
How is it that they're not alcoholics?
AA comes of age. it's been determined that to have this organization function as huge as it has become, obviously in the beginning it was all Class B. Once a Class B, always a Class D.
No,
but in the beginning they did determine that they needed some people with the business sense to manage a corporation of this magnitude once it got, past.
Name an alcoholic. Actually, the General Service Board originally it had a majority of non-alcoholics. And it was only in the 1960s that we switched it over so the majority of the board trustee members were alcoholics. And that was because they couldn't trust an alcoholic to stay sober.
That's right.
Yeah. So there are both.
So this is actually a really good example as well of, Alex doesn't know everything. I don't know everything. We rely on people who do know more of the history, and we can research the literature and the archives in order to gain further facts, such as that. So the other thing to note here is there's two operating corporations, AA World Services, which employs the General Service Office personnel, directs the GSO services, and is responsible for the AA.org website and broader publishing efforts. And then there's the AA Grapevine Incorporated, which employs editorial and business personnel and publishes the AA magazines Grapevine and Lavinia. All right. I think we've kind of already covered what is a group. I thought I actually even had some notes in here. There is a distinction between a group and a meeting, right? And so they are different things. Generally, a group meets at the same area regularly. It's registered. It has a group number.
Service number.
Yes.
Yeah, and a meeting could be even at somebody's house and even some groups are at houses, but they're a little, I guess I would call it less formal.
Registered or not registered?
Yep.
That's
not registered. Yep. Yeah. All right, so here's another example of some literature, another brochure that's available on the website. It covers, all what it means to be a GSR. Here's just some bullet points that I pulled out. A GSR links your home group with the whole of AA. The General Service, the GSR's responsibility, you are your group's main point of contact. You attend district meetings, you join with other GSRs from other groups, and and discuss area, district-level things and area-level things. You attend area assemblies. In Georgia, this occurs 3 times a year. One is at the end of this month, towards the end of this month. You elect committee officers and your area's conference delegate, so the person that goes and travels up to New York, and then you help maintain the unity and strength of our fellowship. And you get to strengthen your sobriety one day at a time as part of that, just like the rest of us.
And practice patience.
And practice a lot of patience. A lot. There's a lot of personalities.
Hair tolerance.
Great opportunity to practice all of the principles.
That's right. I think we've kind of covered the district a number of times here. Here's that map. Yeah. So, it's kind of hard to see. It looks a little clearer on my laptop, but here's District 13 right here, right? And then there's a whole bunch over here.
I think if you open it up, there's a larger view of our area.
Yeah, District 13 is this whole area again, which is the whole metro area, and then this one has 13I shaded here, so you can kind of see right where we are.
All right,
and then
this is a blown up view of what 13 looks like. As you can see, there's also 13K, right? That is adjacent to 13I, and that covers more West Cobb area, and
North Cobb too.
And North Cobb,
North
right?
Forget J.
J.
J. So that's right here.
Yeah.
We're on the scale. J.
Represent J.
D, E, G. Yeah, I mean, we got folks all over here, probably.
So, who didn't know their district before this, their zone? There you go. So, curious, which one would you identify that you're part of? Any
I would
one of you?
Say that I'm in 13I.
Okay.
I'm Marietta, Roswell, Sandy Springs.
That's, yeah. That sounds right. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're J. There you go. Anybody outside of I, J, or K here?
13F.
F.
Yeah.
G.
14C.
Wow.
Woodstock.
Woodstock. So just outside the edge there. Susan, where are you? Which one are you in? You're technically in. Okay. See, and Susan serves as secretary for 13I. So even though her home group is in 14C. Alright, here's another pamphlet. Your DCM. You can go look it up. If I didn't give you enough information, if Alex didn't give you enough information. But the DCMs are elected, and by the GSR. And
Ruthie, too, and to wrap up, sort of, we've gone through a lot of these, and again, all of this information is available to everybody out there. We don't own any rights to this. But the importance of the alternate positions, as Rex mentioned in the beginning, if your group has a GSR, it should also strive to have an alternate GSR, and that's a person who's just going to kind of prepare to move into that position in general. That's usually what happens. It's not required. Also, the alternate person, say, have a group conscience meeting and the GSR is, you know, visiting family out of state somewhere, the alternate GSR then can simply chair that group conscience meeting, as that would be that person's responsibility anyway. So the same thing with DCM. I mean,
well, one more thing.
Yeah, go ahead. Go.
The alternate GSR can attend the should attend the area assemblies in the first place, but can vote as if they were the GSR in case the GSR cannot attend. So the GSR
backup.
It's like there's a reason they're called alternates.
Yes.
So if the GSR cannot attend, they can vote on the GSR's behalf, but at assembly only the GSR or alternate GSR can vote for their group but not both.
Right. One of them can both. And the alternate DCM we've mentioned is open in 13I. And again, the spirit of rotation, this should be filled by someone who preferably has not done this before. When I was DCM, we had a guy named Alan L. who was my alternate. He rotated in. Rex became his alternate. Alan moved out of state. Rex kind of got thrown right in there as DCM. And you know, so there are people qualified, and it shouldn't be me. I mean, you don't want the same two or three people just rotating through the same positions all the time. The whole point of the spirit of rotation is someone else comes in and takes his position now. So,
Cliff?
There are 2-year terms for both DCM and GSR?
Generally, yes.
Generally, yes?
Generally, yes.
But, yes, and if, let's just say, though, that as GSR, you decide, hey, I'd like to serve as alternate DCM, that's totally fine. You can self-nominate and get elected as that alternate DCM. However, then your group has to find a new GSR, or your alternate becomes your GSR, right? And that's a good way to shuffle things around and fill open needs.
I've never heard of a, you can only serve 2 terms or 3 terms.
I don't believe there are term limits on it. And right. Again, in the spirit of rotation, it is recommended that right. After 2 years, one person would step down, the alternate then step in.
Yep.
So really, as one of those positions, you'd have 4 years of experience. If you're 2 years as an alternate and then 2 years as a GSR, that gives you a lot of experience with the state assemblies and with all the voting procedures to then bring in the next group to follow you.
It might be a good point to say that a unique in Georgia in some ways is that a delegate must have been a DCM at some point. Okay? And this just came up, that somebody was elected delegate but had not served as DCM, only as alternate DCM.
Oh.
And they're looking at changing the manual. We have our own service manual in Georgia. So that has come up, but that's one of the things that there is, that's the only one where we really have a progression that says there is a requirement in that for the delegate.
Okay.
And that's what the AA, the Georgia service manual looks like. Mm-hmm. And that's where you can find it. And it has all of those descriptions of the Georgia specific rules or procedures.
It's got one of Georgia's service manuals right here. So if you'd like to see some of these papers, luckily Cliff has brought along several for us. Visual aids.
Yep.
And it's a good point too, and that like was just mentioned. I mean, it says in the service manual this is how this should happen. And now we're realizing maybe that also needs to be looked at. Maybe we need to vote and make some changes to that. So, and there's a requirement right here in qualifications of DCM. When I moved to Georgia, which was now almost 7 years ago, and it became evident to the current DCM, who'd been holding that position for quite a while, that he needed an alternate DCM. Our zone, actually 13I, voted to sort of forgo this first step so that I could become alternate DCM. Because I was having just moved here, I did not have 4 or 5 years of continuous sobriety within the state of Georgia. I had several years of continuous sobriety and in service positions in other states and in other territories, but the zone voted to forego that so that I could take an alternate position in Ken and he was DCM.
There's one other qualification that's unique in Georgia is that DCMs do not vote in the assembly at the business meeting. They do have a DCM meeting where they vote, and they really vote on the office down in Macon and what are the budgets for that, and they maintain that.
Right.
It's only the GSRs on the Sunday business meeting that can actually vote on any of these motions. Other areas allow the DCMs to vote, yeah, as well as GSRs.
Several areas I've been allowed both DCMs and GSRs. That's a very good point.
And
GSRs really conduct the business of this. And then just briefly, from that point, the State Service Assembly we've talked about usually also has a great session called GSR 101.
for any new coming GSRs to sit and spend some time listening to a lot of the same kind of thing and really understanding how the assembly works, how the voting processes work. And so it's plenty of information out there at the service assembly that's really helpful.
That will be on Zoom.
Anybody can go to that. You don't have to be a GSR to attend it. It's a great thing to go to if you just want information.
Yep. No need for elected official status or anything like that. Just go on down.
It might be good to mention at this time that the Saturday sessions and Sunday will be available on Zoom for the first time this session. If you go to ageorgia.org and go to the assembly page, it will give you the Zoom information and password to get into that. That is a first. We're looking at moving towards making it a pure hybrid meeting where you could actually vote. But this will only be where you view only. There's not going to be any voting or actually even a way to ask a question into the ask it basket. It's just our very first putting our toe in the water about making the assembly available virtually.
So, as an example of that, here is what the AA Georgia website looks like. If you haven't seen it, if you click this link to the Georgia State Service Assembly and you go down to this Zoom information, that's where you can view it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Tim. I know we're pushing our time, though, but what else have you got?
How are we doing on time, Rick?
Can go for a negative 5 minutes.
Alright, I'll take back a lot of that stuff I said.
Alright,
what else have we got?
Well, the next meeting starts at 4, so you got time if you need to go.
I think we've covered most of what we wanted to make sure we had time for any other questions.
So, let's have this one final slide here. Here's what you can do. Come to our zone meetings once a month if you're in 13I and learn. Just show up.
Room
305 at the Mount Zion United Methodist Church on Thompson Ferry. You don't have to be a GSR. You could just be a curious person that wants to attend, right? It's not really like an AA meeting of any sort. It's more like a business meeting. And then ask your GSR about upcoming zone activities and service positions within your group. If you don't know who your GSR is, that's step one. Find out who your GSR is for your group. And if your group doesn't have a GSR, that's another step. You can have a group conscience with your group and elect a GSR. And then if you're in 13I, have them contact me. I will get them all the information they need that I can.
If you've got any questions for your group about any of these things, say maybe your group doesn't have group conscience meetings and you're not sure how to get them started, just ask somebody and we'll come help you.
So, and then, as I mentioned earlier, recommend someone from your group as potential alternate TCM since that's a position. And then here is that Unity Service Recovery Triangle that Alex mentioned earlier. So with that, I'll be available session as well as for a little while. And thank you so much for
make sure you come to the speaker meetings and make sure you come to the jam session.
And I just want to mention some people asked what an intergroup rep was.
Oh yeah. Okay.
And they pretty much do some of those same things, but they represent you locally. And as far as how much the meetings get, it costs having those meetings listed that he said somebody might show up and nobody's there. The intergroup reps are responsible for that, and they represent Metro Atlanta, and those are intergroup reps.
And then there's an intergroup meeting once a month at NAVA.
Oh, it's this Sunday, and they're on Zoom. They're still on Zoom right now. So if you want to even join that meeting and see what the intergroup rep do, the website is AtlantaAA.org. And you can even check out an intergroup meeting.
Yes. There's one other clarification. I do the meeting schedules for Area 16. I'm part of the data. I'm doing the database. The meeting guide that you have on your phones, that meeting guide gets its information first from the Atlanta Intergroup. So if you're making changes to your group and you want to make sure it gets changed in the meeting guide, make sure you're not just contacting Area 16, which you definitely want to do, but make sure you reach out to Intergroup, because otherwise it may not get updated properly to the app that's on the phones.
Yeah.
So it's important if you're in the 13 area, and it actually goes out towards Rome, down to it goes further than you would
think.
It's
18 counties.
Yeah, so, and that's all about the meeting guide app. So yeah.
And your Intergroup rep would be the one to bring that information back a lot of the times from the group. If you change rooms, a person cannot find you. So that's important to have an Intergroup rep.
So, aside from that app, or that information on the, I guess you update it as well. Can you update it on AtlantaAA.org?
You can go to AtlantaAA.org and you can update the information on the web right there. But you can also, on our website, we do have right on the very home page is a place where you can change a meeting form. And that is emailed down to Tamara. We also keep it logged in our database about that. But also Tamara is trying to share this information with Atlanta Intergroup. But if you want to be sure, it's best to send it in both directions every time you make a change.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Any other questions, comments, information to be shared?
Well, that share app you're talking about, that's just not here. It goes all over the country.
It's right. Going worldwide. I actually met the guy who wrote it.
But it's
very interesting.
From all of the central offices' websites.
And it's
keep up with me.
So it's like a decentralized database that gets aggregated into a centralized database.
And it is owned by General Service Office.
Okay.
It is an AA app.
A lot to take in?
Yeah, it's a lot of information. So ask questions.
All right, thank you, everyone.
All right.